This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We were at the point of the issue of fortitude or sabr, and as I mentioned to you, sabr is not simply to sit around doing nothing, because that's the usual understanding of sabr, where people say the word sabr with a sense of helplessness. Yeah, like in Urdu we say, kya sab sabr ich karna aur kya kar sakte? But that's a completely false impression about sabr. Sabr is completely and totally doing all that you can possibly do in a situation, making all the effort, using all resources, all strategies, and then having faith and trust only and only on Allah. That is also the meaning of tawakkul. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say bisabri wassalah? Effort first, then salah, in the meaning of namaz, as well as in the meaning of the linguistic meaning of salah is dua. Why do I say sabr is sabr means all effort? Where is my dalil for that? My dalil for that is the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word sabirin, people of sabr, for mujahideen. In three or four places in the Quran, Surah Al-Anfal and other places, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used this word sabirin to mean mujahideen. Now, if you look at who is a mujahid? A mujahid is a soldier fighting in a just war for the sake of Islam, protecting Muslims and protecting communities which may not even be Muslim, but protecting them against oppression. Who is more of a symbol of action and complete and total commitment than a soldier fighting in battle? Right? So it's total action. And it's commitment to the extent that the man is even putting his life on the line. Those are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to as sabirin. Allah did not call the people, the musallin for example, people who are praying, as sabirin. Allah did not call anyone else sabirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called mujahideen sabirin. And therefore my understanding is sabr means to completely and totally commit to the course of action that results in goodness. But at the same time, after that, to stand in salah. Why? Because this is the, in my understanding, this is the tawakkul of the qalb. This is what saves you from arrogance. This is what saves you from feeling that success was a result of my strategy, success was a result of my effort, success was a result of the victory came to me because of what I did. Now that is a very big danger. So it saves you from shirk, from making yourself sharik in the victory that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So what saves you from that? This dua. Having made all the effort, the person is not relying on the effort alone. The person stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, Ya Rabbal Alameen, success and failure is in your hands. I did what I could do. Please give me success. If I get success, it will not be because of my effort, because my effort has no meaning. Why do I still make the effort? Because this is your hukum. Because you made this world a world of cause and effect. So Allah did not tell us, for example, the famous quote of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. He said, they said, what is tawakkul? He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, the bird leaves the nest every morning with an empty belly and returns with a full belly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feeds the bird, but not in the nest. The bird leaves the nest to go and find food, and it finds food. But if the same bird sits in the nest, does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have the power to still feed the bird? Yes, of course. But will Allah feed him? Will Allah feed his bird? Illa mashallah, unless it is the amr of Allah, unless it is the will of Allah. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not feed the bird in the nest, because this is not the sunnatullah. The difference between khudratullah and sunnatullah. The khudratullah, the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no limits. The sunnat of Allah also does not have limits, but the sunnat of Allah comes with rules. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a human being without parents, neither mother nor father? Yes. Adam alayhi salam had no mother, no father. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create a full grown human being from day one? The day he is born, he is full grown. Is it possible? Yes. Adam alayhi salam had never was never a toddler. He was never an infant. He was never 2 years old. You know, he was never a teenager. Adam alayhi salam was born full grown man. Hawa alayhi salam, his wife, who is the within quotes mother of Hawa? A man. Because she came out of Adam alayhi salam. So if mother is the one you come out of, then who is the within quotes the mother of Hawa? Adam alayhi salam. So Allah is proving that all the rules that Allah made, Allah is not subject to those rules. But having said that, now you say, well, I want a son. Very good. So what must I do? Get married. No, no, I don't want a wife. No problem. Then what do you do?
Adopt.
Adopt, right? But I want my own son. My progeny. Keep wanting, it's not going to happen. Because that is not sunnatullah. If Allah wants, He can give. Of course, we do not deny that. We don't say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam once and He is incapable of doing it again. Now, Billah, no. But is this going to happen? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world with certain rules. We call them the rules of physics. Right? The same rules. These are not the rules of physics. They are rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you call them the rules of physics, we accept. When you call them the rules of Allah, you don't accept. What is gravity? Law of physics. Who made it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so on and so on. Sabr is to understand this. And therefore, make your best effort and stand before Allah. Now, we are talking about the seerah of Rasulullah. Where do you see sabr? You see sabr in his entire life. But one of the finest examples of sabr, which illustrates this whole concept which I explained to you, is the Battle of Badr. What did he do, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He made the maximum effort that he could possibly make in terms of whatever resources he had. He used them. He took the advice of people. One of the sahaba, when they came to the field of Badr, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Let us camp here." The sahabi came to me and said, "Ya Rasulullah, is this a hukum of Allah? Are you communicating a order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or is this your assessment?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "This is not a hukum of Allah." Then the sahabi said, "I have a suggestion. If you accept." So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say what is it?" He said, "Let us camp at a different place where there was a cistern they made later, but there was also a well, some water." He said, "Let us have the water in our control. So we camp behind the water, so the water is in our control. When the enemy comes, the enemy will not have water." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted this sahabi's advice. He did not say, "Are you the Rabbi or am I the Rabbi? Are you getting wahi, am I getting wahi?" No. It's good advice. Alhamdulillah, we take the advice. So he did all of that. Deployed the troops, appointed commanders, head of the Ansar, head of the Muhajirun, and so on and so on. And then what did he do? And then he stood before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They had made a shelter for him. He stood there and he made salah and he made dua and he kept on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, and we know the famous dua of Badr. He said, Ya Allah, if these people die, there will not be anyone left on the face of the earth to worship you. And he kept on asking Allah until Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu said, "Ya Rasulullah, bas." Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu couldn't see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that state. He said, "Bas, Ya Rasulullah, your Rabb has promised you victory. Your Rabb will send His help." That enough. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the malaika. And Jibreel alayhi salam came, and the Battle of Badr, as we know, the rest, as they say, is history. So what is sabr, therefore, is to make the maximum effort and stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another aspect of sabr is that sabr is to respond, not to react. There's a difference. When you are reacting, you are like a puppet. Your actions are in the hands of the puppeteer. I'm sure all of you have seen some puppet show at some point in time. If you haven't seen it, go to YouTube. So you have the puppet here who's behind the screen, who's got the strings in his fingers, and there's a puppet, and he does this, and the puppet can... So the puppet is moving. Who is actually moving the puppet? The puppet. So when you are reacting, you have made yourself into a puppet. You react depending on what the other person does. Therefore, who has the control button? Who has the remote? The other person. So reactions usually or almost always produce only negative responses. To respond is not to react. Respond is to consciously take a decision to act in a certain way. Not because of what the other person did, but because of what you think is the best way to act in that situation. In the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have the issue of, we know the story of the woman who used to throw rubbish in his path, and sometimes maybe Allah Alam on him also, it, something would fall. Every time he passed by her house, she would do this. What was his reaction? Nothing. He would dust himself and he would continue on his path. What was his response? I'm differentiating between these two terms, reacting and responding. What was his response? The day the woman did not throw this, he turned around and came back and he asked, where is this lady? They said, she is not well, she is sick. He said, can I see her? They said, yes, please come. He came to her and he said, I came to find out, I believe you are not well, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure you, and so on. The woman started weeping. She said, I throw garbage on you and you are making dua for me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you do what you do what I do. Abdul Rahim Khan Khana was going somewhere and an old woman, she threw a stone. So the soldiers grabbed her and they brought her to him. So he said to his treasurer, he said, give her a bag of 100 gold coins. So one bag of ashrafis was given to her. So she went away. So they asked him, they said, what is this? She threw a stone at you and you're giving her gold coins. He said, what happens if you throw a stone at a tree which is full of fruit? He said, she does what she does, I do what I do. I can only do this. That's why I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, this is an adna abd of yours who responds to something negative like this. You are Rabbul Alameen. You are Ghaniyun Hamid. Nahnu kulluna fuqara. All of us are faqir. Not reacting but responding. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these are before, these incidents are some of them are at the beginning of in Makkah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going. He sees an old woman standing by the side of the road. She's got some luggage. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asks her, what is the luggage? Where? She says, I'm going to the, I need someone to help me with this luggage. I'm waiting for someone, if I can find some laborer to carry this, because I have to get to the place where the caravans go. So Rasulullah said, I'll help you. He picked up the luggage. And now he's carrying this luggage of hers and she's walking by his side. He asked her, he said, where are you going? She said, I'm leaving Makkah. He said, leaving Makkah? Why are you leaving Makkah? She said, because this has become a bad place. There is this man called Muhammad, and he is preaching that we should not worship our gods and we should worship only Allah. And he said, I have grown up like, I have been worshipping these gods all my life. My family worshipped these gods and so on. And this man comes and he is creating all this fitna and there is problem with the families and so on and so on. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues to listen. She says all this. He doesn't say anything. And then the woman says, you are such a nice person. You are helping me with baggage and so on. And she gives him dua, may you be well and so on. Finally they reach the place. She tries to pay. He said, no, I don't need any money. I just helped you. So she said, at least tell me your name. He says, I am Muhammad. She said, which Muhammad? The same one. He's the same one. He said, wallah, you are Muhammad. He said, yeah, I am Muhammad. She said, then take me back. I don't have to go anywhere. If you are Muhammad, then I accept. I accept Islam. What you are saying has to be correct. Yeah, Ajib. That's why I always say Islam spread because people fell in love with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam spread because of akhlaq. Islam did not spread because of theological argument. When this woman is talking all of this stuff against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this stuff in favor of her God, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not argue with her. He didn't debate with her. He didn't tell her, you are a crazy woman, what nonsense are you talking about? All this rubbish, you know, worshipping idols and so on. He didn't say any of that. He said nothing. Only his akhlaq. The woman accepted Islam without one single theological argument, without one single debate, without one single anything. Just the akhlaq of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Seriously, Abdullah bin Salam radhiyallahu anhu, in Medina, the great rabbi of the Banu Nadir, the Jews, he talks about his coming to Islam when he went to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Quba. And he said, when I looked at his face, I knew this is not the face of a liar. So the man who looks like this cannot tell a lie. He's not talking about physical beauty. He's talking about the radiance of truth. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was also physically very handsome and very beautiful. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about the radiance of truth. He said, this is the face of somebody who cannot tell lies. That is the meaning of sabr. This is what sabr gets you. In the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so many such incidents where because of his sabr, people who were enemies of Islam, I already mentioned for you Khalid bin Walid, Amr ibn al-As, and each one of them there is a story. I don't want to go into too many details because we need to finish. But point being that fortitude and sabr is a expression of confidence, it's an expression of courage, because somebody who is afraid cannot, has no patience, he has to immediately react. Somebody curses you, you curse him back. Somebody says you are a donkey and you prove it. Somebody says you are an idiot and you prove it. Huh? Why? For what? If you are not a donkey, why do you behave like a donkey? So seriously, that is something that we need to work on. Then we come to Ridha bil Qada.